Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's a Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, and everything's getting a little relaxed at this point, and a lot of people are taking the whole week off, and even if you're working, you're not taking things too seriously, thinking about this great time of year. Let's see, is Courtney P. still with us from the traffic center? Courtney, are you still with us? Courtney, she may be continuing her list for Black Friday. Ian Ozan is still in the newsroom. Ian, you talked a moment ago about we got great clouds out there. What makes a great cloud?
A gray cloud.
Oh, a gray. I thought you said great. We got great clouds out there.
No, gray. I don't think there is a great cloud. If there is something known as a great cloud, I'd love to know what it is.
Yeah, I did a video the last time, not long ago, when I was coming back from Portland. I did a video of the plane descending through the clouds, and that's just such a cool feeling. And you know, the pilots, they're going by instruments because they can't see anything once they're in those clouds. But that's kind of a cool experience to go through the clouds, because when you're a kid, you know, you think it's like puffy cotton up there, but it's not.
That my grandmother, the first time she flew, she wasn't 60 yet. She was in her mid-50s. And she said she was disappointed because it was just water. She was hoping for it to be something else, that she could see something, but it was just water.
Oh, you know, it's interesting how many people that age just did not fly until much later in life.
Yeah, and the only reason she flew is because she was going to her sister's funeral in California. And that, to this day, is the... Nope, take that back. She flew up for my college graduation, so she flew twice in her life.
Wow.
And both of them were about 20 years apart.
My grandmother never flew. And
really?
They lived in Phoenix, and so they took the train. They took the Sunset Limited from Phoenix to New Orleans.
That's the one part about living in the Northeast that I enjoyed, was having a train as public transit.
Oh, yeah.
Went on Amtrak once. And at some point in the next year or so, I want to take another Amtrak trip, either to Chicago or back up towards New York.
Yeah, I love, when I lived in Seattle and Portland, it was great to take Amtrak between Seattle and Portland.
Yeah.
And just such a beautiful, beautiful trip. And then when I lived in San Diego, I would take Amtrak to L.A. And I mean, there's one part where you're just right on the Pacific, and it's really awesome. There's some great train trips. And even though the scenery between, say, New Orleans and Memphis is not that great. If there's any place you want to go between New Orleans and Memphis on the train, you know, take the Amtrak and just enjoy the scenery, because I love the train. It's so much fun.
It is. It may take you longer to get there, but once you get into some of the scenic parts of the U.S., there's nothing better.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I can only imagine what it would be like to take a trip from, say, L.A. to Chicago.
Ooh.
Because you'd go through the Rockies, and there's a train that goes L.A. to Chicago.
Chicago, right.
Yeah, you'd see a lot. You'd see desert, you would see mountains, and then you see, of course, Chicago.
Can we get somebody on our sales staff to sponsor that trip for us?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, out of New Orleans, you know, we Chicago. There's a city of New Orleans.
Yeah, the Sunset Limited still runs from. I want to say it runs from here to Los Angeles. Still, they haven't connected it to Jacksonville yet. But the New Orleans to Los Angeles leg is back up and running.
And then I still have to try that trip over to Mobile. Ian Hoag took that trip. I think it was the first time they ran. You took that the trip to
the
Mobile
Mardi Gras service. Yeah,
Mardi Gras service.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah. Well, what stands out in your mind about that trip?
How much you get to see the countryside that's not just like, you know, a Peerless tire company and a Wendy's and a billboard and a parking lot. Like, you actually get to see the country and not just what's right along the
interstate. Here's what I remember about taking the train when I was a teenager between New Orleans and Gulfport, because we had friends in Gulfport. I remember the bridges. And when you're in the train and you look down, you can't see the tracks. You're just over water.
Yeah.
And you just look down and you see the water.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
Not comfortable.
So, like, you went across, like, Bay St. Well, no, you didn't go across Bay St. Louis. But on the way to Bay St. Louis, when you go across the Rigolets.
You go across Bay St. Louis.
You went across Bay St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because I'm thinking Bay St. No, you went to Mobile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going across the Rigolets and then going across Bay St. Louis and then Biloxi Bay.
Yep.
Would have been another opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
I got to take that. I got to take that trip. And I don't
really
care if it takes a little longer. You know, the train is so relaxing. They don't tell you to sit down and buckle your seat belts. You don't have to return the tray table to its upright position. You know, there's no locking of luggage ahead of you because the train just kind of creeps out of the station, and you know, nobody's jolted by the acceleration of the train.
Right. Then before you know it, I'm not sure how fast the Mardi Gras Express goes, but if you're on the fastest of the Amtrak trains like the Acelas, you're going from zero to about 100 miles an hour in no time. You don't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does get up there. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, one of the reasons that sometimes trains get delayed is the freight trains have the right of way.
Yeah.
So the passenger trains have to stop on the track and let the freight train, you know, there could be certain areas where they share the track and, you know, only one can go. And the freight trains, because they make more money, they have the right of way.
Yeah, that's the only hang up with taking passenger. But even then, that's a small sacrifice just for the experience.
Yeah. And they've got the club car and they serve booze, you know. Not that everybody has to drink to have fun, but it's one way to.
But if you need something to loosen you up, that's an option.
Yeah, relax a little bit, you know. All right. All right, thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Scoot.
And we'll talk to you again. You'll be with us again tomorrow.
Yes, sir. We'll be here tomorrow.
All right, cool. All right, we've got some. Oh, I know. Before we get to any text messages, I was watching Channel 4 at noon before coming on the show today, and Meg Ferris had a really great story on the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience. Meg Ferris from WWL Louisiana joins us on our show. Meg, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Okay, first of all, my mother, who knew your mother, can you believe she allowed me to take my first plane flight when I was 12 to go see Three Dog Night in Monroe? It was...
Wow!
But I went to go visit a camp friend. But when I was 5, our whole family took a trip up to the New York World's Fair on the train. And, you just brought back some memories.
Well, you know, even at 5, you remember stuff. But, back in those days, you know, you're 12 years old, you're on a plane. It wasn't as sketchy as it is today.
Correct.
Yeah.
But my mother had the stewardess called back then. It wasn't the flight attendant.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on me at every second until I was in the hands of my camp friend's mother. So.
Wow. And I'm sure you remember when Southwest Airlines started, the stewardesses back then, I mean, they looked like characters out of Austin Powers with like the go-go boots and the hot pants. And I mean, they look like go-go dancers.
Oh, behave, Scoot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, they were making everybody randy. So, Meg, tell me about this Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience. It's going to be quite a deal here in New Orleans.
So, Scoot, I learned something. This New Orleanian learned something new yesterday from the CEO, the chairman of the board, who is getting this all together. So I didn't know that the first choice for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was here in New Orleans, but it didn't have political and state and government support.
I didn't know that until I heard your story today, and I was shocked. But then I thought, how typical is that of New Orleans to blow an opportunity to have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here, but because of political BS, it didn't happen.
And Scoot, really, music, Cleveland? Do you really think of Cleveland
No.
when you think of, okay. So
No.
then the Grammy Museum, I didn't know, went to L.A., and it was supposed to be here for the same reason. But now there is state and city support. Money has been pledged. Money has been donated for this music experience. And it all started when Chris Berry, who is the chairman of the board, it was during the COVID lockdown, and he was with the crew of Tux, and they were putting on these live shows from the Den for people who were locked in at home. And it was with all our musicians and the rich history we have here. And so he decided we need this interactive, not a typical museum where you go and there's a picture on the wall and there's a plaque and it says this is that, but something where people from around the world on the internet or in person can interact with holograms of deceased musicians and producers who, you know, he said, do you understand that New Orleans, we are just the cradle of so many genres of music from, you know, from the singing in the fields back during, you know, enslavement all the way to gospel and the blues and jazz and rhythm and blues and rock and roll, which went to rap, hip hop, bounce. And he wants to take that whole experience to people and show the difference that we made right here. Congo Square, you know, started with some of that. So his plan here, here's where the controversy comes in. So they want to be right there outside of Hall G at the convention center, where the there's going to be a hotel down the street that's being built, and then the new Shell building is being built, kind of by Mardi Gras World. Okay,
right. There's a lot of open land there, and then there's that old factory that sits there.
Correct, correct. That and that's what's being planned by the River District, all that being developed. But there's some snags going on there, and so they don't want to be too delayed. They want to open this the beginning of 2029, but have a contract for land signed by next month. So just in case the convention center and the River District development, which is a bigger development, can't get everything worked out for their part, they are looking at two other spots. And one is kind of where you come off the interstate by the municipal auditorium, because mm-hmm. that's near Congo Square. Mm-hmm. And the other one is down on South Rampart, a few blocks off of Poydras, where Satchmo and all these big time jazz players played. And so they've got three sites that they're looking at. But this they expect $6 billion impact over 30 years with the people who will come to have this music experience. And, you know, we really are special. I mean, you know, Elvis and John Lennon and all those people said Fats Domino was the king of rock and the real king of rock and roll.
Yeah,
you know,
and in those days, there were black artists that just didn't get the credit they deserved. And you know, we know how many covers of R&B songs the Beatles and the Stones did.
Oh, well, the Stones said how much they were influenced, yes, by R&B from the Mississippi Delta and from the New Orleans area. So, you know, sometimes, Scoot, you know this because we've both lived here our whole lives. You forget how we really are unique, and we really have offered, done things that have contributed to the world, and it's about time that we shine a spotlight on that. And this is what this experience wants to do. He not only wants to show the past, what we've done, but his big thing is take that money and support the people, our musicians, who don't make much, who, you know, to get into Tipitina still costs the same as it did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. He wants to use that money for our culture bearers to continue New Orleans being the cradle of music like this. So it's a whole different idea than a regular museum.
It's awesome, and it's called the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience.
Correct.
But it's going to be more than just New Orleans and Louisiana music.
It's going to be this area, this okay. you know, Louisiana, okay. this area, and our contributions to it. 120 okay. square feet at a cost of $165 million. And like I said, the state and city have already pledged money, and they're moving forward. And they want people now to get involved, to sign up to be involved in this on their website.
Meg, would it be possible to utilize the old municipal auditorium if they choose that spot?
Well, it's not at the municipal auditorium. It's okay. across the street, Scoot. When you come off that ramp, and yeah. if the municipal auditorium is on your left, the place, the other, the third place they're looking at would be on your right in that parking okay. lot right there by that visitor tourism.
And that's where they have a lot of mobile homes and people with those RVs parked there.
Yes. Okay. But you know what, Scoot? You've planted a seed. Maybe we have to... you're right. What's going to happen with the auditorium?
Yeah, because if they put something that nice there, then they're not going to want that albatross to be, you know, sitting mm-hmm. there. And you think that they could use that? Because, I mean, the structure is sound. I mean, look at the hurricanes that thing survived. Mm-hmm.
20 years, Scoot, it's yeah. been sitting there.
Wow. But Meg, this is exciting, and I heard your story today, and I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you on the air to talk about that, because it's really great. But look, we were talking about something earlier, and I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is urging Americans to dress better when they travel. When your mom sent you to Monroe on the plane, did she dress you up?
Okay, Scoot, okay. You know, I remember what I wore on that plane, my very first plane trip when I was 12 years old. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
It was a patchwork suede, groovy, cool 1960s
wow.
skirt.
Awesome.
With the brown peasant shirt with the drawstring at the top. Oh, wait,
oh
but
God.
Wait. My hair was flipped up with one of those leather hair holders that was in the shape of a peace sign. Okay,
oh,
Scoot,
awesome.
I was so groovy.
Oh, my God. You were groovy. You were like a little hippie. That is so cool. But, you know, you wanted to make a statement about yourself when you got on that plane.
Well, you know, I had older brothers, and I thought that was cool, so I wanted yeah. to look older than I was, and yeah. I was really just a little girl, but anyway.
That's really cool. It's great that you have that memory. All right, Meg Ferris from WWL Louisiana, thanks for being with us, and we'll keep updated on this story about the Louisiana Music and Heritage Experience.
Will do.
All right, Meg, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And let's hear another piece of Thanksgiving.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
History. Elvis's spending was out of control, and he had limited income. On this day in 1975, Elvis had to take out a loan for $350,000 at the National Bank of Commerce in Memphis. He had to put up Graceland as collateral. Elvis had purchased a Convair 880 jet from Delta Airlines, a racquetball building at Graceland, a house for his girlfriend, a horse, and 14 Cadillacs all in one day. Elvis was out of control. Had to take out a $350,000 loan on this day in 1975. Well, and, you know, sadly, we know the rest of that story. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us and very happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week here, and so we're a little bit more relaxed. Do we have any text to get to, Ian? You want to take a minute to?
Yeah, let me get some stuff sorted out here. Nope, I got one right here.
Okay, all right.
Here's a text that says, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a a-hole.
Well, that never stopped anybody before.
But here goes. Flying used to be unique to a certain class of individuals. This is no longer the case. Anyone from any socioeconomic background can fly now. It's also a lot less comfortable to fly as the airlines try to cram as many of us in as possible. This opens up the reality that ignorant people with low emotional intelligence end up in an enclosed metal tube with strangers. A significant, an insignificant gesture that most of us would dismiss can be turned on its head by some individuals.
Yeah, that is true, and it's a legitimate point. It's unfortunate because it doesn't cost anything to act classy. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to be rich to act classy. In fact, there are a lot of rich people who don't act classy. I get it, but I wish, even those people who are not in the same class as other people. I mean, they dress up sometimes when they go to church or when they go to, say, theater or when you do something. And it just seems like maybe there should be a little bit more thought given to what you decide to wear on a plane. So I agree with Transportation Secretary Duffy when he says that Americans should dress a little better when they travel by air.
Here's another. It says, regarding dressing down on a plane, after the shoe bomber, the airlines mandated that you take off your shoes, your belts, and everything. So people started wearing flip-flops and slippers. And I think that was the start of the decline in dressing on the plane.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know whether the decline... it seems like it started before that, but maybe it didn't. Thank God we don't have to take our shoes off anymore.
Yeah, I don't miss that. Switching gears here a little bit, we got some texts about Mr. Blake Groupie. James and Harvey says, does Blake have a graduate degree from Notre Dame and a decent 1-year salary from the NFL contract and enough talent to represent an NFL team? I don't think he has a very bad start.
No, I'm sure he made a good salary. I mean, he should have made a hell of a salary. I mean, even if there wasn't a top salary in the NFL, he was a starting place kicker in the NFL. You know, I don't know, what are you making, $1 million or something like that? I mean, he's got some money. I'm not really that worried about it. We were just kind of having fun with, what job would he do after this? And, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I thought about if the Saints had just won 3 of the close games that they almost won, we might be in the playoff hunt right now. Just 3 of those games that we almost won, if we would have won those games, even in a rebuilding year, right now we would be in the playoff hunt. Because the Bucs are now 6-5. The Panthers are 6-6. The Falcons are 4-7. If the Saints won just 3 of those games that they were close to winning, the Saints would be 5-6. We would be in third place. And, I mean, the leading team, the Bucs, are only 6-5. So even in a rebuilding year, this is how close we are to having maybe made it to the playoffs at least. We would have at least be considered at this point. So, you know, things did not have to be as rough as they have been. And I hope we see more progress in these final games because I don't think things had to be this ugly and this rough even in a rebuilding year.
I'll leave you with this one. We've been talking about trains a little bit this hour and who's got the nicest trains and train routes and all that. Rusty is listening, says, what about the high-speed rail in California they spent $30 billion on and have been working on since 2006? They've only got 70 miles of track down. More waste. It's supposed to be complete in 2045, and it's only going to cost another $20 billion to complete, which will end up probably costing double or triple that amount just to finish it, because once again, it's the government.
It is the government, and shame on our American government, because the Chinese can do it and the Japanese can do it and we should be able to do it, but we can't. And this is typical of our government.
I don't disagree at all, but I won't also miss an opportunity to dunk on Elon Musk, who very publicly and explicitly undermined that project from the beginning. He said, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to spend all that money because I'm going to build my Hyperloop and you guys don't have to worry about that. So some of that money ended up not getting allocated and the political support for that project eroded very quickly. And then he didn't do the thing he said he was going to do. So
yeah,
Elon Musk sucks. Exhibit number 1 million.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. I'm glad you brought that up. And you can dunk on Elon Musk on this show. There's no apology necessary for that. All right. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week. I'll try one more time. Or just one more time. Okay. We can do retakes on the show. It's Thanksgiving week. Well, that's okay. I mean, well, I tried. I wish they would do a commercial when that guy falls off the ladder. All right. Anyway, yeah, it's Thanksgiving time, and you know, we try to find some, you know, bad stuff. Hey, I thought about something. This is kind of philosophical, but I thought about this yesterday after seeing an ad on TV. Is a shirt designed to be untucked ever really untucked? I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Ian, I was listening to a sports show. I forget which channel it was on. It's a morning show. It's a morning sports show with two guys, and it's called Two Pros and a Cup. I hope they're talking about a cup of coffee.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's got to be coffee, right? It's got to be. Two Pros and a Cup. Anyway, I know not everybody gets it, but if you get it, you get it. Hey, if you're an LSU fan, I'm sure you're waiting for the word to come down. Who's going to be the new coach of the LSU Tigers? It seems like it's going to be Lane Kiffin, but, you know, we don't know for sure. When we know, you will know immediately. We will bring you the breaking news when it happens, on the air, online, and on social. And also check in with Sports Talk every afternoon at 4 o'clock for up-to-the-minute reports from LSU insiders and expert analysis. And this is brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Also, you'll hear the latest about LSU right here on WWL. There's a cafe in Dubai, and they are promoting the most expensive cup of coffee in the world. It is made with ultra-rare beans sourced from Panama. The drink is described as having a delicate floral and fruity note, reminiscent more of tea than of traditional coffee. And the beans sourced from Panama are limited. Each cup of coffee made with these beans costs $980. So suddenly that coffee that you are spending a lot on, that you think is a lot, suddenly it doesn't seem like so much, does it? All right, so tomorrow is the day before Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving and whether or not Thanksgiving is like truly a bipartisan holiday. You know, not everybody's included in Christmas. Not everybody's included in Easter. Not everybody's included in, you know, in different holidays. But I think Thanksgiving it certainly should be a bipartisan holiday. You know, it shouldn't matter what party you belong to or if you belong to a party. And I hope it's not going to be as intense this year as it has been in past years for many of you. But I know that politics comes up a lot. And, you know, you've always got somebody in your family who it's not that they want to have a conversation. No, they want to tell you what to believe. They want to tell you why they're right. And, you know, you get a couple of drinks in that uncle or that aunt, and, you know, they want to just spew their political beliefs on everybody. And in some cases, it might even ruin the reason that we're getting together. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. And when I have done research on this, I've discovered that there really are not many actual records of the first Thanksgiving. And so the historical notes about the first Thanksgiving are kind of concocted from different sources about different aspects of Thanksgiving. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about how the new settlers, the people who came to this country, I mean, they just made this voyage across the Atlantic Ocean. And, you know, I mean, that was no Carnival cruise ship. You know, that was rough going. I mean, people died on that trip. And they got here looking for, you know, a new place to live because they didn't like that they were, you know, persecuted religiously. So they came here to find a new land, a new place to live. They had no intention of going back. And when you realize the things that they brought with them on the ship, they had every intention of building a life here and staying here. So we'll talk a little bit about that first Thanksgiving and why it certainly should be a bipartisan holiday. And I hope it is for you. And I hope there's not some, you know, some uncle or somebody in the family that, you know, gets a little tipsy and, you know, starts going off on the politics and, yeah, you know, because it's not about talking about politics. It's about what you should believe. And, you know, there's a good way to get out of that conversation. Just walk away. You know, I mean, even if it's an uncle, if somebody gets too deeply into politics or gets too aggressive in talking about politics, I don't care if they're a relative. Walk away. You don't have to sit there and talk to them, and you don't have to put up with that. All right, we talked about how on this day in 1984, Bono and Paul McCartney and David Bowie and a bunch of people got together, and they laid down the vocals for this song, which was the first of the all-star celebrity singles to raise awareness and to raise money. This is the day they lay down the vocals for Do They Know It's Christmas. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back to wrap up the show on WWL. Yeah, and I hope you have a nice family affair planned for Thanksgiving, but if you don't, you know, that's cool too. We'll talk more about all of that tomorrow. Hey, this afternoon, don't forget to check in with a special edition of Sports Talk. It's Mike Dottillier and Steve Gettle live from the Rouse's Market. This is in Houma, Rouse's Market, Martin Luther King Boulevard. They'll be there at 4 o'clock, well, from 4 to 7 o'clock, so check in with those guys. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Ian Ozan, and Traffic with Courtney P., and I thank you for being a part of the show. Join me on Substack. Download the app and find Scoot on the air, and subscribe. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon, and yeah, tomorrow will be the day before Thanksgiving. So we'll talk about the history of Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving, a bipartisan holiday. Or is it? Have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something out of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.